What kind of bread do you like? That's kind of the theme of this sign that we're going to be investigating today. If you'll remember, we're in a sign series, and the first week we talked about Jesus turning water into wine. The second week, the official whose son was ill at the point of death. Last week, we talked about, what did we talk about last week? Does anybody remember? What? The invalid, right, at the pool of Siloam, at Bethesda, the house of mercy. And today we're going to talk about bread. And the last sermon in the I'm All In series was I'm Invested. And I used and I talked about this miracle and the idea of scarcity and abundance and what God can do with a little, if you'll remember that. So we're going to spend some time on this. Now, today, because of the coronavirus, we're a little slim, but hopefully there's a lot of you that are joining us on Facebook Live or on YouTube, and in fact, we're looking at a different live streaming system right now that you could also join us on, and we're glad you're here with us or joining with us on online experience and our online family and community, and I just want you to know I am suffering through the coronavirus just like you are. We only have six rolls of toilet paper at our house. Yes, it's a national emergency for us at the Gregg family. We tried to pick some up at Walmart the other night. Stacy tried to pick some up, and guess what? They were out. Also, I was talking to my mom. Scratch that. I was talking to someone, and they had seen on the internet that if you can hold your breath for 10 seconds without coughing, guess what? You do not have the coronavirus. I had a long discussion with these people. I said, you need to call the Surgeon General of the United States of America and tell him, because he could save billions of dollars, tax dollars, if that were only to be true. But today we're social distancing, we're smiling and waving, and we're not touching each other, which for some of us no contact people, we really like that. For others of us, we just feel like we don't have that sense of intimacy and closeness with those that we love. But we're going to get through this. And next week I'm going to preach a sermon called Faithful or Fearful. And we really want to address some of these anxieties and fears that we have that are always with us, but are especially, what I want to say, highlighted in times like these. So what kind of bread do you like? If you will, turn with me to John chapter 6. And the other question I want to ask is, are you hungry? Or what kind of hungry do you get? And as I was doing research, which I always try to do for every sermon, I found out there were actually 7 different types of hunger. Did you know that? 7 different types. There is mouth hunger that, you know, we just salivate because we see something and we want to eat it because we like chewing. There is nose hunger because we smell something and it smells good and it's associated with taste so that we want to eat it. Now, maybe these are some reasons why we have trouble or I have trouble losing weight. There is mind hunger, because our mind, when we learn all about the nutrition, about food and what we ought to eat and what we ought not to eat, there's mind hunger, there is stomach hunger. Sometimes I can remember as a child, I would be in church and my stomach would start growling. And it was late church, and it would growl so loud that the people around me would hear me. And that, I think that that was a real hunger, but I'm not quite sure, because we kind of train our stomach for hunger. There's cellular hunger. Did you know that? That our bodies, when we do not have food for a long period of time, there is cellular hunger. And I think I got all the different hungers right. Now, mostly for me, it's either I'm really hungry or I'm starving is what the kind of classifications that I have for hunger. But most of us have never, ever really been hungry for days. Most of us have grown up with a food abundance. grocery stores that are fully stocked, except for toilet paper, but fully stocked otherwise, and bottled water. I guess bottled water and toilet paper are the most important things in America right now. I don't think so. But we've been hungry, but not really. Not like third world countries where we see those children on those internet or world vision where their stomachs are bloated and they haven't had food for a long, long time and they're malnourished. And there, even though there's abundance of food in the world, people go hungry. But most of us have never experienced hunger like what they have. But in this passage of Scripture, in John chapter 6, the first 13 verses, and I'm just going to review them. If you'll remember, Jesus had preached a long time. It was late. The disciples said, "Hey, Jesus, we need to send these people somewhere so they can get something to eat." And Jesus looked at them and said, "How about feeding them?" And Philip said, "Hey, you know, 200 days labor worth of food wouldn't even give them a little bit." 200 days, 200 denarii. And then Andrew walks up and he has found this little boy and he has 5 barley loaves, which apparently was the substance that they made bread out of, and they were little small round loaves is what commentators think, and 2 fish, which was a pretty good sized lunch for a little boy, wouldn't you say? It might have been a few days worth, but what was that among 5,000 men and you know, more women and more children? It wouldn't be enough. But Jesus took it and he gave thanks and they distributed it. And when everybody was satisfied, when they had had enough to eat, which is unimaginable at that time, there was no Chick-fil-A, there was no Christian chicken, there was no Long John Silver's. Lo and behold, they had 12 baskets full of bread. And you've got to wonder why 12 baskets, other than that it was a living example, an illustration of what God can do with a little. And one for each of the apostles to take with them and to remember what Jesus had done, what God had done to feed the multitude. And we went into scarcity and abundance and what God can do with a little. And I talked about investing in the kingdom of God. But today I really want to look at the spiritual meaning that goes beyond that. But notice in verse 14 of this passage, when the people saw the sign that he had done, they said, "This indeed the prophet who has come into the world." Now this was amazing. It was an amazing miracle because it was meeting a necessity. You've got to eat to live. And they realized that this was of God in this moment. But notice as we read in chapter 6 how the crowd changes. In verse 15, he says, "Perceiving then that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, Jesus withdrew again to the mountain by himself." Jesus withdrew because this was not a political kingdom. This was not about power on earth. That's not what Jesus wanted. That wasn't his purpose. It was beyond an earthly kingdom. And you got to ask the question, why did they seek Jesus? Why did they seek Jesus? And we're going to see in the next verse why they sought Jesus. In verse 26, he says, "Jesus answered them, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves.'" You're not seeking me because of the miracles that direct you right to God so that you might believe. You're seeking me because your stomach is being fed. You know that if you follow me, you're going to have food security, not food insecurity. And then he goes on and he says, verse 27, which I think is really, really important. He says, "Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures into eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him God the Father has set his seal." Don't work for earthly food, but work for heavenly food, spiritual food. What kind of bread do you like? I prefer the eternal bread, the spiritual bread, versus the physical bread. Don't you? Isn't that what you want? And then notice what he says in verse 28. He says, then they said to him, what must we do to be doing the works of God? Now this kind of makes sense to me, because this is the question that as a pastor, you know, people come and sit down with me and want to spend time counseling. And their question is this: what is God's will? What is God's work for me to do? And notice John says this concisely in this next verse. But I'm waiting on. Verse 29 through 31. It says, then Jesus answered, this is the work of God. This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. So they said to him, then what sign do you do that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform? Now, two things here. First of all, the will of God is that you believe in him whom he sent. He's saying, Jesus is saying, believe in me, which is why John wrote the whole book of John, so that we would believe. But then they say, then what sign do you do? Are you kidding me? He just fed 5,000 plus, maybe anywhere from 10 to 15 to 20,000 people. What other sign do you need? But they're still looking for a sign. So then he says in verse 31, he says, our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Now you remember the manna story in the Old Testament. They complained, they had it better in Egypt, and then God provided manna. And I don't know if you're reading through the Bible through the year, but I've just read that recently in the Bible, reading through the Bible in the year. Heavenly bread, manna that they could boil, they could bake, they could knead, they could do all kinds of things with manna. But then they complained about the manna. And Moses didn't provide it. It was God that provided it. You see, when we place our faith in Jesus Christ, we accept spiritual food that will never spoil and eternal life that will never cease. So if you're taking notes today, spiritual food will never spoil. That bread, that those 12 baskets that the disciples or apostles were going to carry off, would spoil after a while. And by the way, Jesus bakes the best bread ever. I don't know what your wife does or what kind of bread you bake, but Jesus does the best. He makes the best wine. He makes the best bread, just so you know. Spiritual food, never spoil. Eternal life that will never cease. Now, this life, this existence, whether you get the coronavirus or not, there's an expiration date on every one of us. We will only live so long. There's a shelf life on this milk that I call my body. And believe it or not, even though I don't think I'm as old as I am and probably don't act my age, there's an end to this if Jesus doesn't return. And that's all right, because we have something to look forward to that is beyond this earth. In verse 32 and 34, he says, then Jesus said to them, truly I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. So what kind of bread do you like? Physical or spiritual? Temporal or eternal? Earthly or heavenly? And then verse 33, for the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Man, can you imagine not having life and having a hope that would be forever? Those folks didn't have life like what we know it. They didn't have the Spirit of God inside of us. And this is what they say in verse 34. They said to him, sir, give us this bread always. Folks, if you're in Christ, if you know Jesus, the Holy Spirit is living inside of you, you have that bread already. Our lives are different because of the Spirit of God living inside of us. And then Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Now, this is the first of the I ams of the seven that John uses in the Gospel of John. I am the bread of life. And for this is the will of my Father, verse 40, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on that last day. Folks, there's hope beyond this existence. There's hope beyond the grave. We do not grieve without hope. We grieve with hope. Those that have passed on before us, our loved ones, there's going to be a grand reunion. You can bank on it. And during this health crisis, and please don't think I'm taking it lightly, wash your hands. You can sing the birthday song twice if you want to, but somebody just suggested, if you say the Lord's Prayer once, one of our elders said this to me, you know, it's the same amount of time, only you're turning that into a prayer and seeking the Lord in that moment. So do all the health and hygienic practices, but realize, because we have a hope, by and large, by average, just because we have a hope in this life, we live physically longer in this life. Isn't that amazing? We do not live without hope, but with hope beyond. So, believe it or not, verse 41. So, can you imagine this? So the Jews grumbled about him because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. You know, people grumble all the time, don't they? No matter what you do, they grumble. But Jesus was, this was a hard saying for them. He's making himself equal with God again through this miracle. And he's teaching not there on the mountainside while they were sitting down. This is removed. There's a miracle in between this and the teaching that we're going to look at next week, Jesus walking on the water, which is a really cool miracle, and there's some really keen insights, so you'll want to be here or join us online next week. But they grumbled, and then they said, don't we know you? Don't we know you? And here, you are Mary's son. You know, you're a carpenter, you're from, you know, Nazareth. We know all about you, and you are the bread of heaven. You are the bread of life. Who are you trying to fool, Jesus? We know you. And then verse 47, so truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. And then he goes on and he says, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. Now he is pushing them into a zone that they don't want to go because they are thinking, literally eating physical flesh. And the early Christians were accused of being, what do I say, flesh eaters, or what's that called, human flesh eaters? Cannibals. Thank you. Cannibals. I had a mental breakdown moment there, senior moment. Cannibals. And that wasn't true. We just participated in communion, didn't we? The loaf and the cup. We ate of his flesh, drank of his blood. Now, that's kind of gross when you think about it on a surface level, but we were drinking in the life that we have been given. That's why communion is so important. That's why the Lord's Supper, that's why we meet around the Lord's table every Sunday. You see, because those who feed on Christ will live forever. Those who feed on Christ will live forever. We can bank on his word. That is his promise. And then the question was, well, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? They were thinking literally, how can this man give us flesh to eat? We aren't cannibals. And Jesus answers that question with, so Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat of the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks on my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. And as the living Father sent me, I live because of the Father. So whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me. And this is the bread that came down from heaven, not like the bread that the fathers ate and died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. You know, folks, sometimes we get criticized for having communion, the Lord's Supper, every Sunday. And a lot of people just don't understand the mechanics of that. And I believe it's important. I mean, if we would worship without the Lord's Supper, it just wouldn't be worship for me. The mechanics of this, Phyllis Erb called me on, I think, Friday night, and she said, somebody said we're doing something special with communion on Sunday morning because of the coronavirus. And then Phyllis is down in Florida. And I just smiled, and I said, you know, I've been off this week. I've been on vacation, and I've been working on a house. I said, I don't know what's going on, but I can believe that because I've been thinking about that. How are we going to pass the trays and make this hygienic and safe for everybody to participate? Because the Lord's Supper is pretty important. And so I said, Phyllis, I don't know. I'll call someone. So I called, and I called our children's pastor because he's been kind of controlling the coronavirus publicity kind of church stance kind of thing. I said, what's going on? He said, well, we were talking about buying those or getting those peel tab communion things where you peel off the top and then you peel off the bottom for the bread and do it that way. And said, Phyllis had said, hey, you know what we could do? And I said, no, what can we do? She said, well, we can put juice in some cups and we can put bread in the other cups and I'll make sure either they wash their hands or they use plastic gloves and they put them in there. I said, Phyllis, you're a genius. That is like Einstein, super incredible smart. That's unbelievable. You know, and I really do. I think that was crazy smart because it's important that we partake of the flesh and the blood of Jesus and have life, isn't it? It's a moment in time for me just to reflect and realize how much was sacrificed for me, and I hope it is for you. Now, for these poor Jews that were in that moment, and thinking about eating flesh, which was not what Jesus was saying, but he didn't stop to explain himself. They said to themselves, this is a hard saying. Who can listen to it? Who can listen to it? And this is how Jesus responds. The crowds loved Jesus for what they could get out of him, preferably another free lunch. When he spoke again of the Father, they seemed ready to respond, but rejected him more vehemently. When Jesus connected the dots from the free lunch to eating his flesh and his blood, they rejected Jesus. And in verses 63 and 64 of that passage, it says, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But there are some of you who do not believe. He's saying, they just don't get it. They just don't get it. The words that I've spoken to you are spirit and life. But there are some that don't believe. And they went away. How sad was that? John wrote this whole gospel so that you might believe, even though we have not seen. And after this, many of the disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. So Jesus said to the 12, do you want to go away as well? Do you want to leave? And then Peter said this, which I think is remarkable. He said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. Peter was saying, where else would we go? We believe in you. You're the Holy One of God. You're the Messiah. We know that. We're not going anywhere. See, like the words of Jesus, the words of Scripture are life because they point to the source of eternal life, the death of Christ that was coming. He was going to give his life for us. Now, I have a few observations I want to go through really quickly. And the first one is this: Jesus is sufficient, not just the satisfier. Jesus is always sufficient. Now, when they ate that miraculous bread and those fish, they ate until they were satisfied. But they would get hungry again. But Jesus is always sufficient for our every need. Everything we will ever need, Jesus is sufficient. And even when our faith is weak, and our faith is being challenged this week and for the next few weeks with our health concerns, even when our faith is weak, God wants to work in and through us. Will you be faithful or will you be fearful through this pandemic? And third observation is this: Jesus is the only way to the Father and the only source of spiritual food. There is nowhere else to go. He is the only source. People look for it all over the place. They look for it in more money, more toilet paper, more bottled water, bigger and better cars, other spouses. Whatever you're looking for, you will never find it because Jesus is the only source. Now, I just really want you to consider those observations and realize at this time. And here are some application points that I just want to suggest. Number one, determine to accept and live out the Father's will in your life, that you believe in Him and you walk with the Father and do His will. You know, you might say, what is His will? That you believe, that you live by faith, that God's going to take care of it. There's something greater. The second application is this: allow God to meet both physical and spiritual needs through Jesus. Allow God to meet both physical and spiritual needs through Jesus. Not only what we eat, where we live, how we live, but the spiritual needs of where we are going and the hope that we have, and that we can have a joy that's so deep and so fulfilling that others will want it because our presence, because of His presence in us, makes a difference to those around us and how they respond and react. And finally, the last application is this: respond to Jesus the way Peter did. You have the words of eternal life. There's nowhere else to go. There's nowhere, no one else to go to. You can worship a lot of things, but they will leave you unfulfilled and will lead you away from life and hope. Jesus will never do that. Would you please stand as I close in prayer? Eternal God and Father, we are so grateful for the work that you do and the work that you would have us to do, to obey you, to do your will, to be faithful in all things. And Father, just now, I just ask your blessing upon these, your people. I would ask that they would respond to your word. And Father, that they would have hope and life and joy abundantly. Even through dark and trying times, that you will find us faithful. And Lord, we just pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Will you come this morning?